you for listening, but please be advised that I don't just believe everything I hear on podcasts and encourage you not to either. Be skeptical and look into things for yourself. If you find that I was wrong about something, the best thing you can do for me is to let me know. You can do that at livingthroughextinction@gmail.com. Please also be aware of the fact that I have no decorum and will cuss like a sailor when frustrated or mad, and I don't bleep anything out, so listener discretion is advised. I'm Ruby, and this is episode 110 of Living Through Extinction, a short to-the-point podcast with science and skepticism, environment and wildlife, and stuff I find important or interesting that I want to learn more about. Today I talk about the lies spread by the far right about Biden's White House supposedly banning religious Easter eggs, how conspiracy theories have become a social pandemic infecting the public, today's matriarchal societies, and narlugas. If you've joined me before, then thank you for returning. I really do appreciate you. If this is your first time listening to Living Through Extinction, welcome, and thank you for giving it a try. I hope you find it both fun and informative. And if you're interested in supporting the show, all the possible ways are listed after the final segment and thank yous. It's reasonable to think that voters on the right would be offended by those in power on the right treating them like complete idiots. But then those voters on the right show their ignorance by not just allowing it to happen, but playing into it 100%. Easter 2024 was a perfect example of the hypocrisy and lies that the Republican Party now stands for. It was also, unfortunately, a sad example of how easily mega cultists and others are fooled. Let's start with the date and presidential acknowledgments. As per people on the right, encouraged by Republican politicians, 1. Biden made the day of trans visibility land on Easter as a fuck you to Christians. In reality, Biden has no control over either of those dates. The trans day of visibility is the same every single year, March 31st. It's the Christian sects that insist on having a holiday that uses Wiccan ways to set the date every year. Because of that tradition of theirs, they end up sharing their day with a different group of other celebrations every year. It was bound to land on the day of trans visibility eventually. That's on nothing but the calculation the Christians choose to use to set a different date for Easter every year. In case it interests someone, that calculation is called computus, which is Latin for computation. Not that it's much of a computation. It's simply the first Sunday after a full moon that lands on or after March 21st. So Easter will always land between March 22nd and April 18th. And with that wide range, they're going to share with a lot of other world celebrations. So in summary, no, Biden did not make Easter and the day of trans visibility land on the same day. To believe this is naive and ignorant. 2. The second claim being thrown out by Republican politicians and spread widely on social media was that Biden purposely and intentionally mocked Easter by acknowledging the trans day of visibility instead of Easter. Jesus Christ, he totally acknowledged Easter. He also acknowledged Cesar Chavez Day. The fact is, the guy is a devout Catholic, and he had more to say about Easter than most of what he acknowledged that day. Acknowledging the trans day of visibility is something he has done every year since taking office. And as I mentioned earlier, this landing on the same day as Easter is the fault of nothing but the Wiccan ways that Christians use to make their calculations. And third, there's the Easter egg decorating contest held at the White House and sponsored by the American Egg Board for the last 45 years. Politicians on the right have convinced their incredibly misinformed constituents that Biden stopped the allowance of religious symbols in the decorating contest. When I first saw a video of these dumbasses with microphones hollering that the White House banned religious eggs, I knew it had to be some form of bullshit. And of course, that's exactly what it turned out to be. Nothing has changed. This contest has had the same set of rules for 45 years. The rules were set by the sponsoring association, the American Egg Board, back in its inception. The rules were the same under every single president for the last 45 years, including the Republican ones, including Trump. That's Republican hypocrisy for you. The rules are listed on the submission form, and the second last line of that form goes like this. The submission must not include any questionable content, religious symbols, overtly religious themes, or partisan political statements. Unquote. Again, these rules came from the American Egg Board 45 fucking years ago. It's amazing that these Republican politicians can say whatever they want, and their base continues to believe it. The truth is that nothing changed this year when it came to the date of any holidays, except for the Easter date, which is different every year. The truth is that no shade was put on Easter by President Biden. He acknowledged it with the enthusiasm of any other devout Catholic, along with the other celebrations that landed on that day. The truth is nothing has changed when it came to the rules for the egg decorating contest in 45 years. It's the right who have changed. They are not the same party we grew up with. They are not even close to that party that once stood for the rule of law. They have become so extreme that they've turned against everything that the U.S. always stood for. Most of our parents and grandparents could have never pictured religion and Nazism taking over America or Canada someday. Most of them could never have pictured what the Republican Party and then the Conservative Party in Canada would become. But it's here. We now have a side that wants to continue democracy and a side that wants to destroy it. We now have a side that continues to use reason and a side that has no reason. Pay attention to what you are voting for. Be skeptical, damn it. I came across a headline in New Scientist that stood out to me, and it seemed like a good article to share in May, the month containing the National Day of Reason. The heading was, "Conspiracy Theories Are the New Pandemic Infecting Public Life." That is such a perfect analogy. The ignorance spreads like a virus these days. Anyone not thinking critically while looking at the propaganda in their feed is at risk. Even some critical thinkers fall victim to these things sometimes. The difference with those who are critical thinkers who practice scientific skepticism is that they will admit that they got it wrong when shown the truth. When I learned about propaganda as a child, it scared me. When I would express that fear, I was told every single time that propaganda and religious oppression were not things we had to worry about here in North America, that people know better now, that there's no way people would fall for this stuff today. The people who said those things weren't lying. They really believed it. Everyone believed this when I was growing up, so I grew to believe it as well. Fuck, were we wrong? All the things I used to be afraid of as a child are coming back to North America. The throwing away of knowledge, the calling women witches, the oppression of women overall, the loss of democracy as it's conquered by religion. All these things have been happening more and more frequently since 2020. People in power are pushing a Christian nationalist agenda which strives to push an anti-science and anti-truth, severely bigoted agenda on the society in order to get them to a point where they will believe anything and everything they say, true or not, reasonable or not. People in power are saying there's such a thing as an alternative truth. People in power in the U.S. have been calling their female Democrat opponents witches. As a child, I was told this would never come to be. Yet here it is. These same people calling witch, lying about what abortions are, lying about Trump, and fighting for theocracy to overthrow American democracy are the ones mainly responsible for all the COVID-19 conspiracy theories that were spread, leading to countless deaths which could have been avoided. The article in New Scientist quotes history professor Allison Meek, who points out how the intentionally spread misinformation about COVID-19 compares to the conspiracy theories circulated in the 80s and 90s during the HIV/AIDS epidemic. COVID conspiracy theories created a public health crisis right here in Canada because our conservative voters were just as naive as American Republican voters, and those conspiracy theories spread through them fast as lightning. Conspiracy theories are the reason we were not able to wipe it out. Conspiracy theories are the reason polio has made some returns. Conspiracy theories are the reason measles is making a comeback. And while the false information online is distributed by the right, people who identify with all political parties are susceptible to it. It doesn't matter what level of education you have, how old you are, or what your political leanings are. If you don't use scientific skepticism on what you read online, you may also be fooled. People were actually convinced by bullshit propaganda that the vaccines made them magnetic. Come on. People actually believed Bill Gates put a microchip in the vaccines to track people. Literally all these people are saying this on social media, which is what is actually really the thing that's tracking them. How do they not get it? People actually believed the vaccine was the disease itself and that the government was purposely getting everyone sick. Just a note here, in Canada, that makes no sense. Because the government pays for our health care. They have a financial interest in keeping Canadians healthy. Wake up! And the majority of people who went as far as to join these ridiculous freedom protests were anything but reasonable. They compared surgical masks to dog muzzles. That is unreasonable. They said COVID-19 doesn't even exist. That is unreasonable. They hollered about the vaccine not being tested. That is unreasonable. It was literally the most tested vaccine in vaccine history. The article on Scientists notes the online movement of disinformation, especially related to health. It's been shown that the more a person relies on social media to learn about any medical issue, the more likely they are to be exposed to mis- or disinformation. The more likely they are to believe said mis- or disinformation. The more likely they are to disregard health guidelines. When you see anything online, but especially in regards to health and medicine, please remember to be skeptical, dammit. A few episodes back, I started talking about the patriarchy. My first segment on this was about what people use to defend it, religion and tradition, and why neither of those defenses should be accepted. As I was taking notes on patriarchal rule, I also came across a lot of information about matriarchal-run societies. That's what I want to talk about today. The thing is, I feel very strongly like I've talked about this before. I did search through my segment titles and found nothing with matriarchy, matriarchies, matriarchal in the titles. So it doesn't appear I ever had a segment on it. Did I talk about matriarchies as a part of another topic, maybe? Or is this just a fever dream? Anyway, please forgive me if some of this is repeated information. I've done well over 400 segments now, and my brain is 50 years old. As I said in the previous episode, there's nothing natural or normal about a patriarchal society. It's something we created. It's not more natural for a man to be in control. Our society set that standard based on rules set in place to push women out of places of power over time. We consider it normal or natural because it's all we ever knew. All it takes to see that other ways are possible, that other ways work, is a little education, a little exposure to people, places, and things you know nothing about. The fact of the matter is, there was plant and animal domestication for a long time before any record of gender-based oppression. History is full of men and women who were treated as equals. But let's talk about matriarchies and keep it to today. There are plenty of matriarchal societies around the world today. Some of these societies date back thousands of years. The nations most of us live in are babies compared to these. In northeastern India is a tribe called the Khasi. They're in the state of Meghalaya. In this tribe, both property and wealth are passed down through the female line. Women have the strongest say in household and community decisions. They are free to choose their own partners, and divorce is not stigmatized in any way. In West Sumatra, Indonesia, there are the Minangkabau people, where property and wealth are also inherited through the female line, and women hold high status in the culture, making the decisions regarding both family and community. Though in this case, men do still hold important positions in the government and religious institutions. With the Akan people of Ghana, both inheritance and succession are traced to the female line, and women here also hold a high status in the culture overall. Here the presence of women is strong, and they make the decisions regarding family and community, but again, men still hold important positions in government and religious institutions. There's an indigenous community in Costa Rica called the Bribri people. Here women are the heads of the households and responsible for passing down culture, traditions, and land to their daughters. While men do hold important roles in the society, they do not hold any level of authority over women. Women are in charge. In southwestern China are the Musou people, who I found to be the most interesting. They are probably the furthest I've ever come across from what I or the people around me through life would know. I saw them referred to as the last matrilineal society in China. Property and wealth are passed through the female line, just like the Khasi. Women are the primary decision makers in the family, and the family structure is very different than what we're used to. There is nothing that resembles what we call marriage. A child is raised by their mother and maternal uncles. So imagine your mom and her brothers being the ones who raised you through life. From what I understand, who a child's biological father is doesn't factor with their people. A woman's brothers, while probably impregnating other women, wouldn't necessarily know or care. Their love and teachings are doted on the children of their sisters. Very different from anything I've ever known. But that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with it. It's obviously working for them. The most interesting thing about these matriarchal societies, though, is that so far studies show that giving women authority typically given only to men leads to better health outcomes overall. C-reactive protein is a biomarker which indicates the presence of inflammation. Inflammation is a sign of an issue in the body, of something being strained or damaged in some way. So it can be used as a sort of overall health indicator. Get this, the inflammation levels of those in matriarchal societies is less than half what it is in the rest of us. Measuring blood pressure showed similar results. While only about a quarter of matriarchal societies had hypertension, a full one-third of those in patriarchies do. If we let our bodies tell the story, it kind of seems like it's more stressful overall to live under a patriarchal rule than a matriarchal one. It's interesting, isn't it? I do plan to do more segments on the patriarchy, but I saw explaining matriarchies and the fact that they do exist as a part of that. Not only do they exist, but the people and communities appear to be better off. Remember, just because it's all we know, doesn't mean that's all there is. The story about the narwhal and belugas made me smile, so it's my positive for today. In northeastern Canada, there's a pool of beluga whales who adopted a narwhal calf. All on his own at one time, possibly due to his mother being killed, he one day came across this pod of belugas and joined them, probably for safety. And the coolest part is, they were fine with it. In fact, he fit right in and appears to be completely comfortable within the pod. Both narwhals and beluga whales live in the Arctic, but belugas will migrate south a bit in the winter, and narwhals will stay in the Arctic under the ice. This odd pod was discovered in 2016 by the Group for Research and Education on Marine Mammals, who had been using drones to study the social behaviors of belugas. They've been observing them ever since, and the narwhal is now about 12 years old, which is getting close to sexual maturity. Experts are excited to observe if he will mate with one of the females he grew up with. Narwhals and beluga whales, while both from the cetacean family called Monodontidae, one of those, I think, very rarely interact in the wild. So this is a rare chance to observe the birth and life of a narluga if born. Narlugas were hypothesized to be possible for ages, but they weren't confirmed to for sure be a real thing until 2019, which was only 5 years ago. A cetacean hunter in the 1980s had kept an odd skull he found. It appeared cetacean, but he didn't recognize it as any that he knew. It definitely wasn't a narwhal, and it definitely wasn't a beluga. It had mini tusks on the upper jaw and strange corkscrew-like teeth. In 2019, he allowed it to go through DNA and chemical analysis, and it was confirmed that the skull came from a first-generation narluga hybrid. 50-50. This analysis was published in Scientific Reports. What we still do not know is whether or not narlugas are fertile. Some hybrids are, and some are not. Ligers, for example, can breed with lions, tigers, or other ligers, so there can be a litter of baby ligers. Same with pizzly bears. They can breed, which is why the species is expected to take off somewhat, especially since they can handle a more varied environment than either the polar bear or the grizzly bear. Mules, however, cannot breed. When a horse and a donkey mate and make a mule, that mule is infertile. Two mules cannot come together and make baby mules. So it's exciting that researchers may be able to continue to follow this pod and maybe, just maybe, observe the birth of a narluga. And then maybe, just maybe, get to follow it through life and see whether it's able to breed as well. It's all really interesting, but the best part of the whole story is definitely the orphan narwhal finding a pod to raise them, even if they weren't fellow narwhals. And with that, I conclude my episodes for May, the month containing the National Day of Reason. Please consider subscribing to the YouTube for short skeptical videos. Thank you for joining me. May your health and sanity continue to be replenished daily. My eternal gratitude goes out to the following people. Jason Martin for helping me get started on this project 4 years ago. I wouldn't be doing this right now if not for him. Kathy Rayner for her musical contribution on the violin. Paul Palmer for his musical contribution on the guitar. He can be found at WPG Suitcase Drummer on Instagram. Dustin Harder for composing and recording the intro and outro for the show. You can find him on Instagram at Prairie Soul Music. And thank you to my friends and family, as well as the local podcast community, for all your support. I hope you will choose to join me again in 2 weeks for episode 111 of Living Through Extinction. If you enjoy Living Through Extinction and would like to support the show, the best ways to do so are to subscribe and rate and to comment and like positive comments on your favorite podcast player, or you can help out by following, liking, and sharing on all the social medias. The show can be found under Living Through Extinction on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, YouTube, Pinterest, and TikTok, and under LTE Pod on Blue Sky, Hive, Tribal, and Twitter. There's also a Patreon at patreon.com/livingthroughextinction. There you can earn stickers, pins, masks, and more, as well as help me to plant some trees. If you have any comments, corrections, questions, or suggestions, please email them to livingthroughextinction@gmail.com or message me through one of the social medias.